have onion, I gotta have sesame, all in one bagel. Isn't that unbelievable?
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, on the podcast that bears his name. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And Mr. Bill Curry Ford joins us. He is Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie. And we are fired up for this post-draft podcast. Ira, before I get too into this, I just wanted to say, you know, we talked about should we do a quickie after the first pick and all that. You know what? Here, we want to get in depth. We want to talk about this draft and have it be meaningful and let people just sort of soak in the sage's thoughts. So here we are on a Sunday night.
Steve, I'm worried about our compatriot, Lee DeKemper. I'm very worried because, much to his shock and disappointment, yes, the Bucs drafted a center in the first round. Now, Steve, having said that, Graham Barton played a lot of left tackle. He played some guard at Duke. But I don't think there's any question, and you don't have to read between the lines. The Bucs are projecting Barton as the anchor of the offensive line. He will dislodge Hainsey, and if he doesn't, there's going to be an investigation, barring a training camp injury to Graham Barton. Steve, I wrote last week, when need meets value, it's a beautiful thing in the draft, and I think that happened in the first round for the Buccaneers. They got Barton. Steve, they didn't have to move up to 20 to get Barton. They sat at 26. Now, having said that, Steve, and you know this, you've been around, Jason Light, that night, Thursday, after the first round, said, we got the guy that we targeted. We got the guy that we had targeted. Now, Steve, we're never going to know. We're not privy to the Buck draft boards. But I dare say, Steve, if Verse or maybe a Chop Robinson were still on the board, maybe they don't take Graham Barton. So take that with a grain of salt. I think Light says it every year. You know, Logan Hall, that's the guy we targeted. Shoyinka, we had Shoyinka up. That's the guy we wanted. We're never going to know. To me, that doesn't diminish anything about Graham Barton, whether Light's telling the truth or not. He sounds like a plug-and-play guy, Steve. I've been screaming for a center. I think the right center can make a world of difference in a lot of facets of your offense. This has not been a good offense since 2021. It has not. It has floundered way too many times. Just look at the end of the regular season, Steve. They didn't show up against the Saints. They didn't show up offensively against the Panthers. Now, to be fair, Mayfield was hurt in that game. And in the postseason, the offense was pretty darn good. But, Steve, for most of the year, this offense needs a jolt. I'm happy with Barton. I got no complaints with Barton. You know I liked Zach Frazier. He went midway through the second round. So did Johnson, the other of the big three centers. But the Bucs had their choice of the three of them, and obviously, Steve, in their evaluation, Barton fits the bill. I think what might have put him over the top, Steve, is his versatility. I don't think Frazier or Johnson offers the multi-positions of a Graham Barton. But make no mistake, Steve, he is going to play center. He's not playing guard or tackle for the Bucs.
All right, Sage, we'll get into that because there is some uncertainty there, but where there's no uncertainty is at Bill Curry Ford. The tax match is still going on, only for another few days, a couple of days here by today, and they will double your tax refund. It's a great program. You can check it out at BillCurryFord.com. The dealership is a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, and they are fantastic, family-owned. Curry is the family name. GM Sean Sullivan, who's also our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, he's still handing out $500 gift cards if you make a custom order of a new vehicle, but there's also all kinds of deals going on, and you can check those out at the website, BillCurryFord.com. They're buying vehicles, as Sean explained on our draft special. They're buying vehicles. They're paying over Kelley Blue Book value. A lot going on at Bill Curry Ford. Most important, they just are going to take great care of you, and Sean Sullivan will give you the Ira Kaufman discount. You just have to ask for it. It's real, it's legitimate, and it's on top of their nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. They've got pickup and delivery service available for service and for sales. BillCurryFord.com. Don't mess around. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, we'll talk more about them later, but we have to tell everybody, Florida's Elite Restoration, they are your restoration company in the Bay Area. Nobody else They're fantastic. They're reliable. They're family-owned. They've also got their own Sage discount, $500. If when you first call, you mention Ira or JoeBucksFan.com, after your free inspection and evaluation, if you need their services after a fire, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, they'll give you $500 back if you use them to restore your property. Maybe that's money for your deductible, or maybe that is just cash back. So Florida'sElite Restoration.com, check them out. We'll talk more about our friends later, Ira. This Barton thing, Sage, before we bring Lee in here, and he's coming in a little bit late, but not too late. He's going to be coming in swinging for sure. The Barton thing was made a little strange, Ira, because Light said he was going to be a center. And then in the draft wrap-up, assistant GM John Spytek handled it. And he was asked about the interior line. And, you know, of course, they've got Sua Opeta, a sign from the Eagles, Ben Bredesen, signed from the Giants. These guys have started games, and Hainsey's still around. He survived the draft. I thought he might have been unloaded for a sixth or seventh round pick. That didn't happen. And Cody Malk, who played right guard, was a rookie last year, and now they got Barton. But Mr. Spytek said that Cody Malk could play left guard, and that it's not a certain that Barton would play center. You know, probably, but, you know, he mentioned the guys and that he's really looking forward to them competing. And he said, you know, who's going to rise to the occasion? Who knows how it's going to shake out? These are all Spytek saying they like that they can move these guys around and they'll plug and play the guys that are the best fits after they can look at them. I know you don't buy it, but what do you think of him actually saying that? Why would he say that if that's not what they're planning?
Steve, I tend to go with the guy who turns the card in, Jason Light. He said center. All the draft prospect evaluations that I've read about Graham Barton projects him at a center at the pro level. Steve, I don't even think there's going to be a competition at center. I've got Barton listed there. Right now, to me, you can put his name on that locker and you can put center, the letter C, not for captain, but for center, above his name on his locker.
Well, Sage, let me throw this.
I think it's a done deal, Steve. I think it's a done deal. Now, you're talking to the guy who said Mayfield was a done deal over Kyle Trask before the first preseason game even happened last year. I don't think I'm going out on a limb with Barton. Now, Steve, here's one thing.
Wait a minute, Ira. I know you're not going out on a limb at all, but let me throw this out to you because I think it's interesting. And I can't wait to hear what Lee has to say about this. So Mike Martz did film study for the 33rd team. He did a really intricate breakdown with film explaining why he thinks Barton is a guard. And not that he can't play center, but that he's a guard and he's a stud prospect as a guard. Barton himself said that he was on radio and he said that, I thought I might go as high as 15. That was the intel I was getting. And he seemed to say that sort of half the teams were looking at him as a guard and they had told him why. And so I got to put this here out there for you, Sage. Do you think there's a chance? Again, I wouldn't even be going here if Spytek didn't put it out, but maybe there's a little, some people at $1 who are looking at the line and saying, you know what? If Barton is the guy we think he is, as far as that he might be, when we really get a look at him in more depth, what happens if we put Barton at left guard and Werfs is next to him and we really believe in our hearts that both of these guys are Pro Bowl, all pro quality? They might be looking at, you know, no one's had a left side of the line like that, and maybe we can exploit that in ways that we didn't even think of before. Do you think that's possible?
Now, wait a minute. Let's not jump over to Art Shell and Gene Upshort. Take it easy, Steve, on the left side of an offensive line. My point's very simple, Steve, and I'd love to hear your answer. If Barton's not the center, who's competing against Hainsey for the center spot? Are you telling me it's Bredesen? Are you telling me it's Opeta? Who's the damn center? Hainsey's not coming back in the middle, Steve. He's not. It's not happening. I'm sorry, Lee. It's not happening. I don't see the competition at center. They drafted a guy. We'll talk about him later this week. He's a guard. He's not a center. So Hainsey's not getting that job back, Steve. It's not going to happen. I got nothing against Robert Hainsey. Maybe he can win one of the guard spots. Let him compete with everybody. But he's not coming back to center And I'm sticking to my guns. Barton's your center.
All right, Sage. I had to ask. Look, Bredesen did play a little center with the Giants. And
No, you stop with the little. I'm tired of the little. you know, I still remember the Ali Marpet experiment. Oh, boy, let's forget about that one. You know, they're so hung up on this position flexibility. I could see moving Wirfs from right tackle to left tackle. Yes. I could see moving Gedeki from guard to tackle because, let's face it, Steve, he wasn't a very good guard. So you do what you got to do, but you don't do it on a whim. Barton's my center. And by the way, one more thing I want to say. If Barton is the center, as I anticipate, you got Wirfs and Gedeki. You got Malk, who I don't think is going to lose his starting job, even if they move him from one side to the other. I still think he's going to be a starter. Steve, that's four young guys, really young. Four young guys up front. We don't know who's going to win the other guard job. Could be a rookie. I don't think it will be. But that's a lot of youth up there, Steve. That's Buck fans got to feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was young last year. They got Filer, and they got rid of him or sat him down, put in Stinney, who's like 28, 29. But they're going to be even younger this year. Opeta and Bredesen are, I believe they're both 27 years old. So it's going to be a super, super young line, but a line with experience for the most part. And, you know, look, Jason Light knows what he's doing. And Sage, I got to ask you this before we get to Lee. Do you look at this draft in any way, shape, or form and think they decided to build around Baker Mayfield? You know, just straight up, like, you know, we believe in Baker, we're going to build around him. They got him a running back, a receiver who might be a steal. We'll talk about those guys later. Barton. I mean, when you think about building around a quarterback, what do? You get a lineman up the gut or a center or a left tackle and, you know, a running back and a receiver. Is that a fair assessment, or you think it's not about Mayfield?
I don't look at it that way, Steve. I'm looking at the 2024 draft class in total, and what strikes me was they addressed in their mind, and we'll see how good you know, these guys plug the holes, but I think they addressed in their mind specific, what they considered specific weak spots, and by that I mean interior offensive line, edge rusher, nickelback. They wanted competition for Izzy, a wide receiver who can compete with Trey Palmer. We knew they were going to add to the running back room, another interior lineman, and a tight end maybe who can block a little bit. Steve, I think it was very need-specific. Doesn't mean it's a bad draft, but I think it was driven by perceived need. And, Steve, when you look at it, maybe the only spot in that regard they didn't address is corner. They got a nickel, but, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised that had they drafted a corner to compete with McCollum, and that didn't happen. I don't think this guy's going to compete as an outside corner. I think it was very need-specific, Steve, and in that regard, they're not very different than most teams.
All right, Lee, it's time for you to fire away. I know you got the ammo loaded. Your thoughts are ready. We've touched on a lot without you, but the floor is yours, buddy.
As far as the draft, I'll just say I liked the player. I didn't like the pick, if that makes sense. Barton seems like a good player. I made it pretty clear I would never first-round pick on a center. Unless that was the very last piece of the puzzle for a Super Bowl-winning team, I wouldn't have done it. I would have done the Belichick move. I would have traded back early in the second round. Got a guy there. Same with guard. I just, like Belichick, in his own words, said Friday night, you know, non-major positions, that's when you wait for the second round. You don't want to be chained with that three-year option to a position of not great need. I can't remember the word he used. You know, someone doesn't make a difference. And I was pretty adamant, pretty clear. I would never, ever draft a center. And that was a piece of the puzzle. I don't care who it was. So I didn't like the value there, but I liked the player. The player seems to be pretty good. The more I think about this, the more I think he was drafted for Mayfield. And I would say he might be a guard. And this is why I say this. First off, this is a Todd Bowles pick. What's Todd Bowles going to do? Run the ball in a passing league. Okay. Well, what did Light say Friday night? Todd Bowles was talking about this since the middle of last year.
Yeah.
Middle of last year, we didn't know if Bowles was going to be retained or not. They were in the throes of a losing streak. They had cratered out. So this sounds like Bowles was on Light's case for months to draft someone else in the middle. So I'm thinking it's me, because you think about it, the Sean Payton method. you know, Sean Payton believes middle first, then your tackles. He's really big on that. And that's what I think this is sort of what, you know, shore up the middle first. And they don't need tackles to begin with, but I'm starting to think it is Mayfield, because with Mayfield being short, blocking up the middle is more important, especially in pass blocking. But this smells like that Bulls was hounded light for damn near a year about this. You know, middle of last year, that just tells me that this is Bull. This is, you know, we got to run the ball. We can't run the ball. You know, I don't know what the deal is, boy, but if he's got a 10-yard wide hole, maybe he can see it at that point. Maybe he can utilize it then, because he sure as hell can't read a 5-yard wide hole. So I think this is Bull through and through.
You know, Steve, one thing that strikes me about taking Barton where they did, and Steve, I think they had opportunities, some opportunities to move back, some. I don't think they were overwhelming. But, Steve, at that point, Frazier and Johnson were still available, as was Barton. Those are the three big centers. So you would think, well, why can't the Bucks move back seven spots, you know, in the beginning of the second round and pick up some more draft capital, where you had three guys that were still available that you would think they'd be happy with. But, Steve, the more I think about it, it's obvious that they thought Barton was a cut above. Steve, a cut above Johnson, a cut above Frazier. And they thought he'd be gone by the early in the second round, and maybe he would be. We don't know. Frazier went in the second round, Lee, to the Steelers. Yes, he did. That's a classic Steeler pick, you know. And Johnson, I believe, also went in the second round. Mm-hmm. But, Steve, it seems to me they clearly had Barton ranked significantly over those other two centers. Otherwise, I think if they would have been happy taking any of the three of them, I think Light might have pulled the trigger on moving back six, seven, or eight spots.
Yeah, a couple of interesting things here regarding Light and this decision. As was noted after the round was over, you know, that was the only interior lineman taken in the first round was Barton. Now, the guy the Steelers took, he is a guy who's legitimately considered able to play all five positions. Troy Fatanu, he may play inside, but the Steelers already said at their post-draft conference, you know, he may play tackle. We're going to sort it out. And then of course, they drafted Frazier behind him at center. So they went 1-2 on the offensive line. About Belichick, at first, I have to say, anybody who did not watch Belichick with Pat McAfee, the live draft show, just grab some food from Hooters and some beers and some drinks and just sit back and watch the whole thing. It was one of the funniest productions I've ever seen, and informative. They had, Ira, a fake Mel Kiper, a spoof guy, who literally sat there for 4+ hours sounding just like Mel Kiper and breaking things down with a whole panel, McAfee and Belichick, who was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Belichick played along with fake Mel, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Belichick was light. He played along, but he had a lot of good info. But one thing he said was that the Bill Parcells way, and one thing he brought to the Jets that turned around the Jets, was an obsession with a top-flight big dog center. And that was a very much a Parcells focus, and it's something that rubbed off on Belichick and their free agency move in 98 to get Kevin Mawai to the Jets. It was Parcells all the way, and his focus on, you know what, if you're in a division that has beastly defensive tackles, you better have a center and you're going to have some trouble there if you don't. Now, if you look at this division, Grady Jarrett's still there. The Ira's guy who's the destroyer there, Derek Brown over in Carolina. And last year, the Saints drafted Brzee in the first round, a nose tackle who came on later in the season as a pass rusher. And it is considered a real good talent. And they went back to the defensive line in this draft. So I don't know. I think that may be part of it there. But he's got to play well. I just come back to that. He's got to be a difference maker. And hopefully he will be, Sage.
And by the way, Lee, I don't want you to drive off the road or anything. But apparently they're thinking about moving Cody Mouth to the left side. Here we go again, tinkering.
I know you hate that.
You know, with something that's not wrong, but
I see what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing. And I can't remember who said this. Might have been Brian Baldinger, that the Bucks were on draft the left guard. And his reasoning was the Bucks got rid of both their left guards. They didn't get rid of their center. And I also go back to your podcast, Ira, at the Combine, when I flat out asked Jason Light right to his face, I said, the running game, is it Rashad White or is it Hainsey? He didn't say anything about Hainsey. Now, maybe he was, you know, not showing his card, not showing his hand. I get that. Right. But he did criticize White. He didn't say anything about Hainsey. So, you know, we'll find out soon enough. But you know what? There's enough heavy hitters out there that are saying that Barton is a better guard. And Spytek didn't exactly throw cold water on that Friday night. So until we see otherwise, it's a possibility.
I guess so. Steve, if Barton ends up playing center, as I project, you think Hainsey will be given a fair shot to win that guard spot?
A fair shot is really a relative statement there, because somebody has to be number one on the depth chart in practice. And it's very hard to get three guys equal reps and everybody's learning a brand new offense. So he'd have to come from second or third place, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to put him as number one. They'll choose one of the new guys and let him fight it out and see what happens in preseason, see if somebody turns an ankle. But I think he's not going to be targeted as the number one guy.
If I had to bet right now, Lee, I think Bredesen's going to win that guard job, I think.
You know, these two guys, these two ham and eggers, like God, I don't know what to think about. I haven't seen them play. I haven't broken them down. I don't even know what I'm looking for, breaking them down. I just remember last year they got a couple guys, you know, value picks in free agency. They were value all right. They didn't want them on the roster any longer. So I don't know what kind of value they are, if they're valuable at all.
The overall theme of this draft for me, and I think for most of the teams in the league, Lee, to be honest, I think it was very position specific for the Bucks. I do. And if I say interior line, edge rusher, nickelback, wide receiver, and running back, the first five guys. Lee, that's very need specific. I'm not saying the guys aren't good players. It is very, very following where we think the weak spots are. To me, the only one they didn't address is outside corner, I think.
I was thinking left guard. If you believe Barton's a center, I was thinking left guard. They didn't address that, but maybe they did. We don't know any better.
Yeah, we'll talk about Elijah Klein in the sixth round. We'll get to that, Sage, for sure. What I wanted to mention just about Bredesen, you know, some of this is follow the money. I mean, Bredesen's making like $3 million in change, and Opeta from the Eagles is making just a shade over the minimum. So that tells you a little something. You know, Bredesen is from Michigan, out of Michigan, and they had 10 players drafted in 2020. He was one of those 10, and four of them were offensive linemen. All the other three, other than Bredesen, have been extraordinarily successful. You know, there's a lot of people who think the Giants just had no idea what they were doing with their offensive line the last couple of years, and maybe he got caught in the wash there. But I think it'll be a legitimate competition, Ira. I just don't think Hainsey is going to, you know, start from the number one position. Ira, right. second round, the Buccaneers make this big decision to address the edge rush. Lee was standing on the chairs. He was cheering, fist pumping. And Chris Braswell out of Alabama, guy had a good season last year and had played behind some big guns. Of course, Nick Saban's hyping up his player. We had that story at JoeBucksFan.com. You know, he looks like a talent, but every edge rusher drafted in the second round does. So we'll have to see. But one thing I wrote, Ira, and want to get your opinion, Yaya Diaby came out swinging in the preseason against the mattress movers and the veterans going 80%. Tryon Soyinka had a big start to preseason, and even Noah Spence did as well. So do you think Braswell has to come out swinging to really show that he looks like somebody when it's not the top competition? Is that a barometer at all? That's fair?
Lee, I'm almost looking at this as it's Braswell's job to lose. I mean, I am. Diaby coming off the right side. I think he's eclipsed Soyinka at this point, and I have no reason to think that JTS is really going to up his game at this point. They need somebody on the left side. He's not going to be the next Shaq Barrett. Nobody's looking for 19 sacks. But, Lee, they like... Now, I didn't hear much about Braswell going into the draft, Lee. I didn't hear his name. I didn't. What I like the fact is they didn't allow his relative lack of playing time, at least in terms of being a starter for the Tide, you know, to overrule the production. Lee, he had production, especially impressive given the fact that I think he only made two starts. Lee, now they had, you know, they're four deep. Lee, you know Alabama.
Yeah.
They're four deep. And he wasn't going to beat out Will Anderson a couple of years ago. That's not going to happen. I don't know. To me, Lee, with edge rushers, for me, it comes down to, do you have stuff besides speed? I've seen enough of the pure speed rushers, and it doesn't usually work at the pro level. Lee, you got to have counter moves. You got to be versatile because these tackles are too good. Lee, they're going to ride you out of the play. We've seen it all too often with former Buck players. I used to, Lee, I'm not making this up. Back in the days with Keith McCants, I used to sit next to Joey Johnston. I had my binoculars on, and I go, after a couple of snaps, I go, Joey, put these specs on Keith McCants and just look at him. Lee, they ran him to such a wide circle, he could have shook hands with the opposing head coach on the sidelines. I mean, it was ridiculous.
The old John Zook move, just go wide right.
You keep going wide right. Some guys can do it. Von Miller, he makes himself so small. Shaq Barrett did it, Lee. He didn't have a million moves, but he was so flexible that it was tough for these, big hulking tackles. I think Braswell's got a shot, Lee. Steve says, does he have to be a star in training camp? I think he's just got to hold his own. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he's starting week one on the left side coming off that edge.
I don't know what to think about Braswell. In some respects, he looks like a project. In other respects, it looks like he got caught in a log jam. Sean Sullivan doesn't think he can play the run whatsoever. I don't know that. But it's kind of the point with Joe Tryon that he's just a warm body out there. Now, he gave me some, and I hate to use the word hope, but he gave me a glimmer of hope against Carolina, and he played pretty well against Philadelphia, that maybe the corner, he's turned the corner, maybe, but then he was a no-show against Detroit. So I don't know what to think. I can tell you this, by picking Braswell, the Bucs are fed up with Troy. They've given him just about as much rope as they can give him. You were asking earlier what I thought of the draft. My theory was, I talked myself into it last week. Rather than Barton, I would have drafted Johnny Newton,
right,
tackle from Illinois, who's a ferocious tackle. You put him on the same front line with Vita Vea and Cassie. You're not going to block those guys with four people. You're going to commit five people. And that's going to free up Tryon Soyinka or Yaya. Because I was thinking, how can they get an edge rush? Because rookies generally don't do anything as an edge rusher. Then it popped in my head. Well, if you have a ferocious defensive line like the Eagles had, you got to commit so many offensive linemen to those dudes. It's going to free up your ends. Your ends could be average at best. It'll free those guys up. And I would have taken my chances that way, but I'm not an NFL GM.
Steve, I think Sean Sullivan, who we all know, put the time in and the work to really analyze the draft. I think his first inclinations about Braswell are right in terms of run support. It's not his forte. Steve, he might get some tackles for losses. He might. But as far as holding up that left edge, now playing behind Golston might help because Golston's a good run stuffer for on those first two downs. But Steve, I don't think run support's ever going to be Braswell's forte.
Well, Ira, he's got to develop. Look, Shaq Barrett played the run well, and he was no bigger than Braswell. He was actually smaller than Braswell. Right. So we just have to take a look at it. I think it'll take a lot, though, for Todd Bowles to stick him in the starting lineup. The guy's going to have to play the run because Bowles isn't going to sacrifice the run. That's his MO. And he's never going to put him out there, give him a lot of playing time if he's struggling against the run and he's just okay off the edge. They'll use him as a situational rusher. And I mean, look, Diaby was a bigger, hulking, more dangerous figure, in my opinion. And look how long it took him to get into the lineup, So I don't know, but I like the pick because you got to keep the faucet running with these guys coming in. You never know when you're going to strike gold. And if Braswell does pan out, I could totally see them trying to find a sucker to take Tryon Soyinka at the trade deadline. I could totally see that.
Lee, one of the reasons I think Braswell has a chance to play significant snaps is, I don't see a lot of competition, Lee, coming off the left edge. I don't see it. Nelson is a sub, but a good one. But a good, productive sub. Diaby's got the right side clamped. I'm not moving Diaby to the left side. I mean, he was effective on the right.
Ira, this guy Braswell has got to be better than Randy Gregory, who, if he's not doing weird stuff, and stays healthy through the summer, he's probably better than Braswell. And they're going to just try to get as much as they can out of Gregory, for sure. I mean, there's still investiture there.
You might be right about that, Steve. I don't know how much Gregory's got left, though, Lee.
I mean, I don't know either. A lot of names in the hat there, Sage, and that'll be a big focus through training camp and preseason. And what I love is that these guys have tough tackles to play against. I mean, let's see who can get past Werfs in practice, if anybody. And Gedeki can pass block. There'll be a lot to be tested there.
Well, yeah, I said this the other day. We'll never know the answer. But I'll ask you this directly. If Verse or a Chop Robinson was still sitting there at 26, I'm not convinced Light takes Barton over one of those guys. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I am pretty convinced just by what Light said Thursday night, that him and Bowles have been talking about the interior offensive line since the middle of last year. And I know Light really makes it a point to work with his coaches as far as get guys that they want. And yeah. So I really believe that Bowles was on Light's case for, 6 months, 7 months? I just think Bowles was on Light's case to get interior linemen. And Light, you know, decided to satisfy his wishes.
And Steve, I think it goes back to something I said a few weeks ago on the podcast. You know, I was debating Lee about taking a center in the first round. But I said I'd rather have the top center than the sixth or seventh pass rusher. And I think that was the choice facing Light. I think he made the right call.
Tyke Smith, Ira, third round, the first of their two third-round picks, number 89 overall. Looks like he'll be a nickelback with the Bucks out of Georgia. What do you think of the decision to go that route? Is it just pretty much as straightforward as it looks? Christian Isian, undrafted, free agent last year. Got off to a good start, tailed off, came back a little bit, but isn't a super high-quality player as far as his ceiling. What do you think?
Lee, I think by midseason, if not earlier, Tyke Smith's your nickelback. He's your slot corner. I like what I hear about this kid. I don't think he's going to be effective at the pro level as an outside corner. I don't think he's got the makeup speed you need, but he's strong in run support, which is a big priority if you're going to be a slot corner. You know, everybody's comparing, you know, people to Rondae Barber. Now, you know, obviously that's not fair. But just in terms of the responsibilities of that position, that Rondae was incredible in terms of his versatility. Tyke Smith, I think he's got every chance to start. And, you know, according basically along the lines of what Steve was saying about Braswell, if he doesn't start week one, I think he's going to win that job as the season goes on. I think that could end up being the best pick Light makes in this draft.
You might be right. The thing I like about this Smith, he seems to be an impact player. He makes an impact.
Yes.
And already, he hasn't even, to the best of my knowledge, hasn't seen where his locker is at One Buck Palace yet. And already he's made a difference. What I mean by that is, Friday night or Saturday night, I can't remember the two, but the guy who used to be the CEO of the Draft Network, J.C. Cornell, put out his projected starters for the Bucks, and he had Smith as a starting corner. Christian Isian retweeted that with a laughing emoji. He was basically saying, okay, pal, you think you got the job? Think again. So he's already motivated the incumbent at nickel corner. It sure looks that way, and I like that. Now, I don't know if this will happen. It wouldn't surprise me. But could you see him in a rotation at safety?
Of course, the back end is locked down. With
for starters, yeah.
Right, yeah.
No question.
You know, Lee, if this guy Smith works out, and I think the you know, the back safety tandem is about as good as in the league as a duo. There's a lot of ifs, Lee. You know, if McCollum takes the next step up, because he's got a lot of physical traits that you look for in a corner, and, you know, Dean's okay as your other corner. Isian wasn't badly, but he's not exceptional. He's not exceptional. Smith's got every chance, Lee, every chance to get on the field about 70% of the time. And like you said, he's got ball skills, Lee. Got ball skills.
Yes. I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to crucify Isian. My thing with Smith is, if he's, like you said, he's a ball hawk, he makes an impact. If he is that kind of impact player, I'm going to try to get this guy on the field as much as possible. So maybe it's a rotation. Maybe he starts with over Isian. Maybe he takes some snaps at safety. then Izzy can come off the bench and log some snaps as a nickel, while Smith is at safety, maybe given Whitehead a break for a series, or maybe given Winfield a break for a couple of snaps. If this guy's the ball hawk and impact player I think he can be, I want to find ways to get him on the field.
That's right. And Steve, Izzy and Smith, they're a little undersized, 5'10", a little undersized. But when you're talking about Steve, slot corner, I don't think size is the major factor. I don't think the Bucks look at it that way.
Sage, I was actually stunned that you said you think Tyke Smith could turn out to be the best pick this draft for Jason Light. That would be, I don't know if that would be a good thing, but it was an interesting take by you. We'll file that away. I think it's going to come down to blitzing, really, because they lost Devin White. We're not sure they have anyone to replace him on the blitzing front. And in Todd Bowles' defense, ideally, and the way it was crafted originally, was the nickelback was going to be a big blitzer. And Izian really hasn't shown that he can do that effectively. If Smith can do it, then that might be his job right out of the gate, or might win him the job right out of the gate. Third round, Jalen McMillan, a few picks later, Ira, receiver out of Washington. Also another guy caught on the depth chart a little bit there in Washington. A lot of talent, not a super burner, but a good player, a guy who was productive when he was healthy 2 years ago, still productive last year, but battling a knee injury since week 3 of the college season. What do you think of that?
You know what he sounds like to me? A little bit sort of a Chris Godwin wannabe.
Yeah.
Lee, not a burner, could be effective in the slot, solid hands, precise route runner. I think he could earn Mayfield's trust in a relative hurry if they give him his snaps. And, Lee, you made this point very strongly the last couple of weeks, and I hadn't even thought about it until you brought it up. Godwin's contract situation, Lee, you got to be looking ahead a little bit. It's not as automatic as re-upping Mike Evans. It's not. He's not Mike Evans. He's very good at number two, but he's not Evans. And there's no guarantee he's getting another contract. As a matter of fact, if McMillan pans out, the odds are he's probably not. He's going to give Trey Palmer a run for his money, Lee, as that third guy right now, but he's different than Palmer. Palmer brings that speed element. I don't think McMillan has that. That was a wide-open offense, certainly, that Washington had. Guys are wide open. It's not going to be the case in the NFL. But a lot of the analysts I've been reading, Lee, and they really like this McMillan guy. They think he's kind of a third-round steal. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get as a rookie, but I think his value, Lee, is down the road. Keep an eye on this Godwin situation. It could be a little dicey.
As much as I love Godwin, it wouldn't shock me if this is his last year. He may want to go somewhere where he could be a number one, and some other team might pay him to be a number one, where I don't know if that's going to happen with Evans being here. I'm not saying I'd be shocked or surprised. I say I'm 50-50 whether he comes back for another contract or not. But this clearly is the cover for Godwin in case Godwin leaves. You can make an argument that they've already made their decision that they're going to let Godwin walk. Depends on what this guy does. I'm not giving up on Trey Palmer at all. Matter of fact, I've been on board by saying Palmer was misused. When I saw that those next-gen stats about Palmer being the fastest in the league, faster than Tyreek Hill even, faster at the start of his route than anybody in the league, that tells me he's not being used right. That tells me this is the guy that needs to get the ball immediately after the snap. I do agree that I think, like Spychek put it perfectly. If he wasn't battling a knee injury last year, no way he lasted late in the third round. No way.
Sage, I'm going to disagree a little, only because I think the team has no intention of getting rid of Godwin. Now, Godwin may want to go, and like Lee said, get a shot to be a number one and get number one money, but I don't think they want to get rid of him. I think they understand that it's a passing league, especially with the fact that they have decided to go with very thin tight end depth. I think they're sort of building and then building on the line as well, that they're looking at building more of a passing team, and the running back that they got with the next pick, Bucky Irving. Aside from his shiftiness and his speed and all that stuff and his success at Oregon, he's got incredible hands. Nobody's caught more balls in college football the last couple of years at running back. So it feels like they're really building a passing team. That's my take on it.
I understand that, Steve, but, Lee, I said this before about Godwin, and I like Godwin, and you like Godwin. But Lee, five touchdown catches, five
over the last two seasons combined, it's unacceptable. It's not commensurate with his salary. I don't know if it's all Godwin's fault. But Lee, if the guy's open in the red zone, you know, it's not like Mayfield says, I'm not going to throw you the ball. I mean, that's not the case. So, you got to reach the end zone, Lee. It's a big part of his responsibilities as a receiver, as a starting receiver in this league. Unless Lee, I think unless he catches like 7 or 8 touchdowns this fall, I think the Glazers are going to look at the salary and the production, at least in terms of scoring. And, you know, if they want to move on from Godwin, I don't think the Glazers are going to have a problem at that point.
I don't disagree with you, Ira. I think that's going to be part of it. Now, why he has such limited production, I don't know. I like Dave Canales a lot. I thought he was good to the players, but his offense was not Godwin-friendly. Let's put it that way. We all know what happened late in the season with someone's wife and a certain social media account. We both know what happened. All of a sudden, kazam, Godwin starts getting production. So, coincidence? I don't think so. So, we'll see what Cohen does with him. You know, Dave Canales was very good. You know, for individual players, he was very good. But you know and I know, he loved to run up the ball up the middle. That wasn't for Godwin. Do I think he's going to be back after this year? I have my doubts. But I think what you say, Ira, has a lot of merit, that the Bullet Glazers are going to look at the pay, and they're going to look at the production, and like, well, you know, let's use that money to get someone else in here that can't.
All right, Ira, Bucky Irving, running back. What do you think?
I think Liam Cohn's very happy. He provides something that the Bucks don't have a lot of in that backfield, which is a burst. Lee, forget about Tucker. He's a non-factor.
What's he done, you know?
So there's no depth in the running back room, Lee. We talked about it. None. Edmonds, you know, nothing extra. Here comes Bucky Irving. Ironically, as Steve just pointed out, one of his fortes is catching the ball. Now look, if you catch the ball more effectively than Rashad White as a running back in this league, you're incredible. I think White's top three, maybe even better, in terms of running backs catching the ball in this league. He's great. He catches 90% of the balls. 90. Not 55. And he does a lot with the ball. Lee? Yes, he does. Now, here comes Irving. Lee, we complained about this. I think things are going to change. If you're going to run outside on occasion, Lee, which the Bucks don't do, even on occasion, I think Bucky Irving's the guy to carry the ball. He's good at making that first guy miss, Lee, which White does not do well as a running back.
Not
as a running back. So I think Irving is going to make this team. I don't think there's any question about it. It wouldn't shock me if he got 5, 7, 8 carries as the season goes on a game. White is not going to be completely responsible for the Buck running game this fall, Lee. That's not going to happen again.
I think the Bucks are going to run outside more only because Dave Canales did not like running outside. It wasn't that Bucks don't run outside, it was Canales.
Right.
And, you know, I asked him about that. It was last preseason. I asked him about that. He basically said he didn't believe running outside can be consistently effective. He said it's hit or miss. His big thing was he wanted to consistently move the ball. And he said you do that by running between the tackles. You don't do that by running outside. And I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but hey, it worked for him, or at least it did in Seattle. Here he didn't have Marshawn Lynch. By the way, with Rashad White, Ira, have you ever seen a guy that is so good in the open field about making guys miss and at the same time is so terrible not making guys miss as a running back?
You're right, Lee. It is an incredible mystery. Now, look, it's jammed up there in between the tackles, no question about it. But you're right, Lee. I really can't remember too many times when he made the first defender miss carrying the ball. Steve, maybe you can correct me on that, Steve.
He's like Duck Martin, bad Duck Martin.
Yeah.
Florida's Elite Restoration, 24/7. You can call them when you have storm damage, flood, water damage, fire, mold. Call them 24/7 before you call your insurance company. They're a trusted family-owned business. Fantastic friends of ours here at JoeBucksFan.com. Good friends of Ira. He loves Josh and his people over at Florida's Elite Restoration. And just get your free evaluation, your free assessment when you have that crisis so you know how to proceed. And they can be your offensive coordinator fighting against the insurance company, making sure that the corruption in the insurance industry doesn't hit you and your claim to repair your greatest asset, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Shop now, BillCurryFord.com. CurriePie.com. C-U-R-R-I-E, that's the family name. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. So easy to get to. Giant is their nickname because their dealership is the biggest and most impressive in the country right now. Literally. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out.
I absolutely love this Bucky Irving draft pick. I publicly apologize to Sean Sullivan because I know Sean's outraged, but I personally really, really like it, basically because he's going to make guys work to bring them down. That's just the opposite of Rashad White. I know some people are wanting to know why the Bucks didn't draft Liam Cohen's running back out of Kentucky. You know, people, oh, he was the best back on the board. And I asked, I asked Spike Tech about that. Hey, you know, your offensive coordinator, he coached this guy at Kentucky. Why didn't, was there any kind of back and forth in a war room? Did he stand on a table? Did he pound the drum to draft his buddy? Spike Tech said, oh, that was decided long ago. That was hashed out long ago. And then I was reading Greg Cosell's evaluation of Bucky Irving. And in his summary, he said he thought he was the perfect starting running back for Miami. Well, so let's think about this. Where does Mike McDaniels come from? Where does Cohen come from? Sean McVay. So I think it's fair to say if Cosell thought Bucky Irving would have been the perfect starting running back for Miami, I think it's fair to say that's a similar offense that we're going to see with the Bucks under Cohen.
It sounds like this guy brings a little juice to the table, Steve.
What's not to like? They had a need. He's got talent. And what the hell? Throw him out there. Let's get some juice in there. Somebody's got to be able to break a tackle. And if the, you know, obviously they're focused on upgrading the offensive line. If they can have a better running game, they ran the ball 439 times last year. And that wasn't even average in the NFL. It was below average. If you're going to run it 439 times, then you should get better at it. And that's the bottom line. He should make them better if he's not better than Chase Edmonds, and he's not better than Chase Edmonds, but something's got to give. Sage, so sixth round, a Jason Light kind of guy, Elijah Klein at a UTEP. He was the last pick of round six going to the Bucks, number 220 overall. He's a sort of a unique shape, a really wide guy, wide body, hungry guy. Lee wrote up how he had a little tutoring session with Alex Kappa. Came or was on a call to tutor the guys from UTEP about what they need to do if they want to get to the NFL. He's hungry. He's just a big guy who's going to fight, you know, tooth and nail, a real Jason Light guy. My theory is, Ira, that in addition to the fact that maybe he can play, I think it's good for Graham Barton to have another rookie offensive lineman in there who's real hungry, high-energy personality, somebody who he can go through this with and sort of fight with, and they're probably going to room together. And what do you think of that?
I hate to pop your balloon over here, Steve. You listed a bunch of attributes, and I understand that. But Lee, NFL history tells us that, you know, late sixth round picks struggle to make the team, number one. And number two, he's got a bunch of guys ahead of him. Now, look, they're not all accomplished. He doesn't have Will Shields ahead of him. But, you know, he's like number five on the guard depth chart right now. He looks like maybe a practice squad guy, Lee, that they can develop. But Elijah Klein, I don't think Lee has much of a chance of winning a starting job week one. I wouldn't think, because Barton's going to start. I don't think they'll start two rookies and a second-year player in Malk in front of the franchise, Mayfield. I think he's got some attributes, Lee, but from what you can expect this fall from Elijah Klein, I think you got to mute your expectations.
I don't, you know, obviously I haven't seen UTEP football since Mike Price was there, and that's been a long time ago. I don't rule out two rookies starting. The Bucks have done that before, Donovan Smith and Allie Marpet, and they happen to block for a 1,000-yard runner. And speaking of the franchise, the number one overall pick. So I don't think that's an obstacle at all.
Those were premium draft picks, like premium.
Okay, but if this guy balls out in preseason and training camp, I don't know how you deny it. Oh, you can't start because you're a sixth-round pick. Oh, wait a minute. I did this. I did that. I did that. Oh, no, we can't have you playing. You're a sixth-round pick. I don't think it works that way. So if the guy proves himself, you know, I don't expect him to because he's a sixth-round pick. But, you know, if the guy shows he can handle it, I don't see why not. I wouldn't, you know, rule it out. But he's got to prove it first. Clear.
Steve, they certainly got a hole at guard. There's no question about that. So that's in Klein's favor.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of ground to make.
But yeah, he's a long shot. The very last pick of the sixth round. I will say six out of the Bucks' last seven sixth round picks made the roster. So he's got a phenomenal shot at making the roster, especially as an offensive lineman in Jason Light's world. But yeah, he's a real long shot. And of course, the seventh round pick, Devin Culp, tight end out of Washington, he's a long shot, along with the undrafted free agents. So we're going to talk about them. We'll touch on all those guys in the next episode, Sage. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford is where you shop for a vehicle in Tampa, period. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he will give you an Ira Kaufman discount. He'll give you a $500 gift card if you order a new vehicle, custom order on their website. You can get all the information. They've got specials. They've got offerings. They've got the biggest service department in the history of the free world, 67 or 63 bays in there. It's phenomenal. They'll pick you up from your house and bring you in for service. They'll do it at your house. They'll pick you up if you want to shop for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. You can sign up for a rental if you're bringing your vehicle in for service. You can take care of all that in advance. It's phenomenal. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Anytime you have that disaster, as we heard before, you call them 24/7. Don't hesitate. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, you have a final word for Bucks fans here?
Final word is that Jason Light is on a hot streak with his drafts. Not necessarily the top picks of the last couple of years, but the draft as a whole, they've been productive. Light's feeling good about this group. We'll know more when me and Lee get up close in underwear football and training camp. But right now, most analysts think that the Bucks did pretty well over the weekend.
Well, of course, in underwear football, these top two draft picks, they can't touch anybody. We won't know anything. It'll be a long time. But bottom line, Sage, what flavor celebration bagel did you enjoy when you heard news that the Bucks drafted an offensive lineman?
Well, there's only one choice, an everything bagel. I got to have everything, Steve. I got to have onion. I got to have sesame. All in one bagel. Isn't that unbelievable?